Well, it's good to be with you at Extended Care. We're from Liberty Baptist Church, and we just want you to know that we haven't forgotten about you, and we are praying for you folks. Good to be with you, to be able to open God's Word today. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless these dear folks at Extended Care. I pray you'd encourage their hearts. I pray, Father, if there should be one that does not know you as Savior, that through the message this day that they would come to trust Jesus Christ. Please have your way in each of our hearts now, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, today I'd like to talk to you about what can we do. I know when we visit with you there in Extended Care and with the other assisted living places, the question a lot of times, or maybe just the comment, is, I don't know why I'm still here. Well, I'd like to talk to you something today about we need you. We need you and your prayers. So let's begin. In Proverbs 24:10, the Bible says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. It goes on in the next verse. Excuse me. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn into death, and those that are ready to be slain. If thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it, and he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it, and shall not he render to every man according to his works? So as we consider this, if thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain. I'm thinking about the people in Ukraine tonight. Russia, a few weeks ago, invaded Ukraine. And many, many people have perished in Ukraine. So have a lot of Russian soldiers. But the people of Ukraine are fighting valiantly for their land. But they're crying out for help. And if we don't forbear to deliver them, if we don't deliver them who are drawn into death and those that are ready to be slain, and many have been slain, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart considereth it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth he not know it, and shall not he render to every man according to his works? The Russians are bombing hospitals like where you are right now, there at Extended Care. They're bombing apartment complexes. They're bombing schools. They're bombing clinics. And many of our politicians, I've read their comments, and they say, well, if we get involved, if we try to patrol the no-fly zone over Ukraine, they say, it'll mean World War III. Well, some of you at Extended Care, if you're in your mid-80s or higher, you can remember World War II, can't you? You remember when Japan was attacking China and then the Pacific Islands? You remember that. You remember Hitler taking over Europe, country by country. And you remember the United States not willing to get involved, just trying to stay neutral. After World War I, they didn't want any more of another World War. So we let Europe be conquered by Hitler, and then they were pounding at Great Britain, and they started to sink our ships in the Atlantic, and Japan then bombed Pearl Harbor in Hawaii, and that was it. Then we got involved. But by the time we got involved, so many countries had perished, so many people had perished. What about today? What can we as Christians do about all this? Well, we can pray. And this is where you come in at Extended Care. What can you do? You can pray. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can pray. So can we. The Bible says in Acts 12:1, now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword, This was one of the 12 apostles. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. But what? Protest? No. What is it? But prayer was made without ceasing of the church and to God for him. You know, we have many brothers and sisters in Canada as well. Some of them have been imprisoned during the COVID-19 thing. Imprisoned some preachers for keeping their churches open. Churches in Canada, churches in America, in some places, were counted as non-essential. Isn't that just like a man in all of his pride, to consider God's house non-essential? They're going to find out someday about whether God is essential or non-essential. And they're going to regret their decisions. So, the church, James is killed by Herod. Herod's the king. James, the apostle James, is killed. Peter, he throws Peter in prison, intending after Easter to put Peter to death as well. What did the church do? Well, many 50,000 in Canada decided to protest. Then what happened? The government just shut it down. They declared emergency powers and they shut it down. And then the Ukraine war started and we don't hear much more about our Canadian friends now. Our power as Christians, if you're not a Christian, you have no power in prayer. But if you are a Christian and confess your sins to God and be right with Him, you do have power in prayer. That is our power. I wonder, instead of having 50,000 semi-trucks storm Ottawa, Canada, I wonder if 50,000 Christians would have come and kneeled all around the Capitol. I wonder what might have been done. Our power is in prayer. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer, not protest, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. God can do that which we cannot legally do. God can take care of political leaders that we cannot. But he can because he's higher than them. And so the church prayed. And that's what we need desperately today. We need to pray. James 5:16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. No amount of protesting against Ahab would have done that. But prayer to the God of heaven stopped the rain for 3.5 years. Our power is in prayer. Notice in Acts chapter 12 and verse 6. What did God do for the church that was praying? And when Herod would have brought him forth, that is Peter, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly," and his chains fell off from his hands. What happens when governments are cruel to people? What happens when our own government imprisons Christians? Do you realize that our own government agencies have declared that Christians are one of the people to watch for terrorism? Can you believe that? Well, it's true. They're watching us. We cannot do what God can do. God sends his angel, and what does he do? He gets right there in the prison, which we cannot do, and he tells Peter to rise up, and his chains fell off from his hands. We can't overthrow the government and unchain and break people out of jail, but God can in answer to our prayers. And behold, the angel of the Lord. An angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did, and he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of what? Of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. The gate to the prison yard opened by God's power. We couldn't do that. We tried to open a prison gate, the alarms would go off, and maybe some shots would be fired at us. But God can do that. It was nothing with him to break those chains off Peter and to open the gate. As we read on here, and when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. You see, the Jews hated Christians. The political leaders hated Christians because they wanted to please the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together, what? Praying. Peter goes to that very place where part of the church was gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, thou art mad. Now, not mad in the sense of being angry, but mad in the sense of being crazy. Now, can you imagine this? The church is doing the right thing. They're gathered together praying. And when God breaks Peter out of jail, he knocks at the gate. The young lady comes to hearken. She recognizes Peter's voice. She doesn't even open the gate. She runs back into the house and says, Peter's outside. And they say, are you mad? Are you crazy? Peter's in prison. That's why we're here praying. He's not at the gate. Is that a faith or the lack of faith or what? They're praying for Peter's release. They're praying for Peter's deliverance. He's at the gate. They tell this young lady, you're crazy. Peter can't be there. He's in prison. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so, then said they, it is his angel. They just didn't believe. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with a hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. You know what? Even when we are so weak in faith, pray. These people, were they some great prayer warriors? Obviously not. Were they praying in faith, expecting God to deliver Peter? Obviously no. But they were still doing the right thing. They were still praying. Are we? Have we just given up? It's easy, isn't it? You see so much evil. You see in our country so much evil. You see Russia pounding the Ukraine, and it's easy to get so discouraged. But listen, we need to keep praying. It's God's power, not ours. We just need to keep bringing the needs before Him. That's what we must do. The Bible tells us in Philippians 4 and verse 6. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by what? By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Listen, can you help the Ukrainian people tonight? Not physically. You're there at extended care. Can I help the people of Ukraine tonight? Not physically. I have no way to get over there. And if I had a way to get over there, what would I do? But there is something we can do, and it isn't necessarily physical. Some people can and are going over to help physically. But what we can do is pray. We can pray. It's not our power, it's God's power. We don't even know exactly what He would do. The church was praying for Peter, but they didn't know what God was going to do with Peter. Obviously, they were not expecting him to be broke out of prison that night, but that's exactly what God did. So what happened to Herod? Well, in Acts chapter 12 and verse 18, the church could not take care of him. He's the king. They couldn't legally go out and try to kill Herod. Then they would be murderers. Only God could take care of Herod, and He did. Now, as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers. What was become of Peter? He's gone from jail, prison. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode. I wonder how those keepers of the prison treated Peter. We know one was sitting on each side. We know he was bound with two chains. But those men died, not Peter. Herod thought it was Peter that was going to die after Easter. Not so. It was the very keepers of the prison. And Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon, but they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus, the king's chamberlain, their friend, desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. So much flattery and bribes going on in government circles. It's terrible, isn't it? And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. He made a speech, and the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a god and not of a man. Oh, the flattery that people will give. Their country is being supported through Herod, through the Romans. This political leader, Herod, makes a speech, and just to flatter him, say, oh, it's the voice of a god, not of a man. And immediately, who? The angel of the Lord smote him. Smote who? Herod. Because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. That is what happened to Herod. You see, the church could have gone and protested against Herod. They could have tried surrounding his palace, and they all could have got thrown in prison, and he could have killed them all. But instead, the church gathered together and prayed, not knowing exactly what God would do. But God broke Peter out of prison. And in a very short time, Herod was dead. The one who had killed James, one of the apostles, the one who planned on killing Peter to appease the Jews, he's dead. God, the Most High that ruleth over man, it's God that we need. So what can we do? What can you do? Maybe God has you alive for just a time as this, to pray for the Ukrainian people, to pray for America. We need a great revival. We need a great awakening. You think of the millions, over 40 million babies have been murdered in the womb in America. Over 3,000 babies every day in America are killed through abortion. That's innocent blood upon our land. In our land, sodomy is just mushrooming. God says in Leviticus 18 that he destroyed nations because of the sin of sodomy. He drove them out of their land. The same will happen to America. If you're wondering why you are still here, we need your prayers. Ukraine needs your prayers. God can take care of the leader of Russia. God can take care of our wicked leaders who are persecuting Christians, who are trying to pass ungodly laws. God can take care of them. It's not protesting we need. We need prayer. When our leaders will not listen to the word of God, we need to appeal to someone who is higher than our leaders, and that is God. But there's also a warning to people that think, hey, I'm not in Ukraine. I'm not worried about it. Well, there's a wicked, evil leader of Russia that set out to kill the Ukrainian people. But let me say something. If you are not saved, if you've never repented of your sins and turned to Jesus Christ and asked him to save you, you are actually in the hands of someone who is worse than the leader of Russia. Who could that be? The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 2:25, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them what? Repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Now listen to this verse. And that they may recover themselves, this is the unsaved people, that they may recover themselves out of the snare. The snare is a trap. Out of the snare of who? The devil. Now listen to this last phrase. Who are taken captive by him? Who's the who? The who is every unsaved person. Who are taken captive by him? Who's the him? Satan. Satan can take them captive, unsaved people, at what? At his will. How is Satan described? What's he like? What would it be like to be in control of his will? The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because you're what? Your adversary, your enemy, the who? The devil. As a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may what? Devour. That is the one. If you back up. That is the one that takes captive at his will the lost, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. That one that walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That one. Now do you see why I say he's worse than the leader of Russia? Unsaved people are taken captive by him at his will. So what should we do? The Bible says this, and I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. Our government leaders, if they want to persecute us, if they want to outlaw Christianity, if they want to put us to death, it's in their power if God allows them. But we need not fear. All they can do is kill the body. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into where? Into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Who is this one that has power to cast into hell? It is God. For those who do not have their sins forgiven. Do you have your sins forgiven? The Bible says, then shall he say also unto them in the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into what? Everlasting fire, prepared for who? The devil and his angels. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of people that think the devil is in hell, poking people with a pitchfork, tormenting people. No, that's not how it will be. The devil is not yet in hell, but that's where he's going to end up. God created hell for the devil and his angels, for them to be tormented. The devil's not going to be tormenting anyone in hell. He is going to be tormented there. The Bible says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into where? The lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. We're talking about the Antichrist there. They're going there too. And shall be what? Tormented day and night forever and ever. There is a man coming upon the world scene that the Bible talks about him as the Antichrist. His number is going to be 666. He's going to be a man sold out to the devil. But the Antichrist and the false prophet pointing to him and the devil, all three of them, and all who reject Jesus Christ are going to be cast into everlasting fire, the lake of fire, and they're going to be tormented day and night forever and ever. And if you reject Jesus Christ, that will be your end too. But you know what? It doesn't have to be, and God doesn't want it to be. That's why you're hearing this message today. The Bible says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be what? Blotted out. Can you remember any of your sins? Any of the wrong things that you've ever done? I can remember mine. I thank God that those, when you receive Jesus Christ as Savior, those sins are blotted out. Wouldn't you love your sins blotted out? Wouldn't you love your sins erased forever from God's book? I don't know why anyone would not receive Christ and want their sins blotted out. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, it's so refreshing to have our sins blotted out through the blood of Jesus Christ. How can you be saved today? The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Jesus is the perfect and pure Son of God. He's God Almighty in the flesh, born of a miraculous virgin birth. That means he was born without a sin nature like you and I have. He lived a perfect life and he died on the cross, bearing our sin in his own body on the tree. He died for you. He was buried and rose again victorious from the grave. Why is the resurrection so important? Because it proves that his blood was enough to wash away your sins and mine. It proves the payment was made because the wages of sin is death. He paid the wage. Death could not hold him. He rose from the grave. The Bible goes on to say, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. This decision is of the heart. Do you truly want to love and serve God? Are you willing to turn from that old life of sin? No, you can't clean yourself up, and I can't clean myself up, but I and you have to desire to turn from that old life of sin to Jesus Christ. He will do the cleansing then. We must call upon him. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, what? Might be saved? Hopefully be saved? No, it says shall be saved. If you are saved, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have the promise of salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you have that assurance? Then you need to call upon Him now. We don't know. All of us are only one heartbeat away from heaven or from hell. And none of us know which heartbeat is going to be our last. It may be within 1 minute. It may be within 1 day. It may be within 1 week or 1 year or 10 years or 20. But we never know which heartbeat is the last. My friend, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, hell could be one heartbeat away. Come to Jesus Christ. Turn from your sin. Receive Him now. Don't fear man. Fear God. And get right with Him today. Would you do that? If you are saved, would you pray for the Ukrainian people? Would you pray for America? Would you pray for Canada? Would you pray for the Christians in Cuba? They're being persecuted. Christians are being persecuted in China and killed. Their churches are being bulldozed down. My friend, would you pray? Would you pray? God bless you. Heavenly Father, please, may that one without Jesus Christ receive you today. Help them to see that hell is but one heartbeat away at any moment. Father, would you encourage that Christian who is so discouraged, who just feels like he or she is of no value, no use, no good to anyone? Would you touch their hearts this very moment and help them to see they are needed? The Christians were praying for Peter. They were not people of great faith. They didn't even believe when he was broken out of prison. But they were nonetheless doing the right thing. They were praying to you. Lord, please encourage the dear Christians who feel so worthless. Help them to know that you have a purpose for them. Help them to know that it just might be their prayers that save a great multitude. Help us, Lord, to be faithful till Jesus comes. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.